Dearly beloved in Christ, today's gospel contains a lesson on prayer, to have confidence in God when we pray. And it is likewise important to know what the qualities of good prayer are. What does it mean to pray well? And what should we avoid when we pray? For today's sermon, I would like to go over these questions using a meditation book for reference that comments on this particular part of the gospel. First, what qualities ought our prayers to have? Our prayers should be humble. God, who loves truth and detests lying, lends a favorable ear to the prayer of the humble soul that sincerely recognizes its nothingness, its misery, its powerlessness. But he closes his ears to the request of the proud soul that falsely attributes to itself what does not belong to it. Our prayers should also be reverent. If at times you owe the greatest respect to Almighty God, you owe it still more when you are at prayer. Now this reverence will be so much the easier for you in proportion as you are more humble. Respect should be manifested interiorly by avoiding voluntary distractions and exteriorly by a deeply religious manner, by a careful control of all the senses, particularly the eyes. Our prayers should be confident. So rigorously does God require your confidence in prayer that without it your efforts should be powerless. Behold the divine physician in the gospel narrative demanding of the sick who appeal to him for their cure acts of confidence in his power and his goodness. He hears their petitions only in accord with the measure of their confidence. Our prayers should be fervent. Fervor in prayer is the ardent desire of being heard. A fervent prayer is a cry from the heart. In the Psalms, frequent mention is made of such cries from the heart, holy sighs prompted by the Holy Ghost and calling on God to come to our aid. They are like the cries of a child in distress appealing to its father. Surely an ardent desire of being heard is the least that God may expect of you when you pray to him. Also, our prayers should be persevering. To expect to be answered as soon as you have expressed your desires would be the same as that God should be entirely at your command. But such an attitude would show a want of respect for him and a forgetfulness of the fact that God is a master of his gifts and bestows them only when and how he chooses. Such an attitude would reveal a lack of appreciation of the excellence of God's gifts, which surely are worth the trouble of repeated petitions. These are a few of the qualities of good prayer, but another aspect to consider in our conversation with God, which is what prayer is beginning our prayers well, starting off on the right foot, so to speak, except in this case, it's starting off with the right hand, making the sign of the cross. Our first act in this conversation evidently must be to render to God religious homage, just as we begin by saluting those persons with whom we hold converse. It is only after having acquitted ourselves of this fundamental duty that we present our requests. Many forget it, and this is the reason, perhaps, why their petitions are less favorably answered. Even when we ask for the grace of sanctification and salvation, we must not lose sight of our principal purpose, and that is the glory of God. Hence the last words of the definition of prayer, which is a conversation to God to ask him for gifts, but also for his glory. The very first step in properly saluting God before we ask him for something is the sign of the cross. The sign of the cross and the recitation of the words, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We immediately give honor to the Blessed Trinity and thus start off our prayer on the right foot. Sometimes this is the only form of salutation that we employ before speaking to God. if we have any at all. And so we should be sure to make the sign of the cross well, slowly and reverently, reflecting on the words we are saying. It can become so easy to make the sign of the cross sloppily, hurriedly, without even thinking about what we are doing. Tanquary says, when we pray, we are entering upon a conversation with Almighty God, who created us and keeps us in existence. He gives us his attention, so let us give him our full attention. Prayer is necessary. It is our lifeline. It is absolutely necessary for us to pray if we are to preserve our spiritual life from withering on the vine and falling dead to the ground. We as Christians have the duty to strive for perfection to whatever degree it is God's will for us to achieve, but if one would be perfect, we must petition God or pray to him for the intention of attaining perfection. Without this first step, they will surely give up and fail completely in their quest for perfection. Prayer is spiritual breathing, sometimes something that we need to do every day, and even something we can do every moment of the day, that is praying, by making everything we do a prayer to God. And how is this possible? Can we really pray without ceasing, and also while we carry on with the daily duties at the same time? First of all, we have to be faithful to our daily spiritual exercises. The spiritual reading, the rosary, meditation, morning and evening prayers, our examination of conscience. We must stick to these if we are to make our entire life a prayer. Then we may proceed to offer all our works to God. We can do this at the beginning of every day in our morning offering when we say, I offer thee all my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day. And then from time to time throughout the day, we should renew our intention to offer all our works to God. St. Paul says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever else you do, do all for the glory of God. All whatsoever you do in word or work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And St. Thomas tells us how we can do all things in the name of Christ in a very simple sentence. Man prays so long as he directs his whole life toward God. Tanquary again on prayer says, prayer is in itself a desire for perfection, since no one would sincerely pray who didn't wish to become better. It presupposes some knowledge of God and of self, since it establishes relations between the two. It conforms our will to that of God, since any good prayer contains, explicitly or implicitly, an act of submission to our sovereign master. Prayer, moreover, perfects every act of striving for perfection by bringing us in all humility before the majesty of God in order to adore him and to implore new graces that will enable us to grow in perfection. So we see that when we pray, we adore God, and usually we ask him for something, and God wants us to ask him for favors. He invites us to do so. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. We can be certain that God is pleased when we ask him for anything. Do we not have many needs and wants in life? Yes, of course, this life is full of needs and wants, and it is so because this is our testing place, not our resting place. And God reminds us of that when we experience deprivation, either spiritual or temporal goods. But would it not be foolish to avoid asking God for our needs or to only seek out the assistance of divine providence when we are at our wits' end, when we have no other recourse? Do we not need God? Do we need God to chastise us, to remind us that we can't do this by ourselves? Sometimes that's what it takes to get us back on our knees before Almighty God, but it shouldn't be the case. We should form the habit of asking God daily to assist us and give us the graces necessary to fulfill our daily duties according to His good will. Also, let us not forget to petition the angels and saints to pray to God on our behalf, that our prayers may be answered. And who better to go to than the Blessed Virgin Mary? As children, we would go to our mothers in order to obtain what we want, because we are comfortable with them and we know that they will always listen to our wants and needs. So now let us go to Mary, our spiritual mother, for our daily wants and needs, and pray that we may be able to make all our actions a prayer before God in union with Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.